Hi, everybody. Welcome to our show. This is Kindness Beyond the Veil, where we'll look at supernatural topics like ghosts, the afterlife, psychic ability, UFOs, starseeds and earth angels, magic and mysticism, but not with fear and loathing everywhere. There's positive and even loving sides to these topics, and that's the light we'll shine on for this show. This is your host, Chip Reichenthal. I was kind of thrust into these curiosities in 1979 when my best friend through childhood came to me at the moment of his death, and I had to know why. Back then, you couldn't talk about that stuff without getting a freak label, so I was pretty much on my own looking into these mysteries early on. Answers would lead to more questions and side realms like magic, stars and planets, energy and physics, and lately, starseeds and earth angels. But I found there's no good and evil in an animal kingdom, no good and evil in a plant kingdom. I've never had a negative encounter with ghosts or the dead. Now, almost 40 years into this, and there simply doesn't seem to be many looks into these fields without all the fear and loathing. Isn't there enough of that in life? Well, we're going to steer away from that, look at the good in people and these topics. Every week I get to highlight my heroes in these fields for you, introduce you to them, even if you knew all about them. There is kindness beyond the veil. I've seen a lot of it. There's answers to be found on the kinder side of things. And if there's light on the other side, we'll bring it into this side as well. In benevolence, empathy, compassion, the kinder side of science and phenomenon, the kindness beyond the veil. I'm your host, Chip Reichenthal. We're so glad you're joining us. Come on in. Welcome.
We indeed welcome you with open arms too. This is your host, Chip Reichenthal, and our show for you today, beloved listeners, is one of the most important shows this year. And you're going to learn some things here today that will change the way you see the world. And it's fitting that this is our 69th episode of Kindness Beyond the Veil. And yeah, I know, 69, put those dirty minds to rest. Just think of the number 6 as everything you think you know, and the number 9 for turning it all upside down today in the most phenomenal ways. Today's guest really represents the heart and soul of why I do this show. Our very honored guest is Reynerio Hernandez, Ray for short. Now, Ray Hernandez's background is stellar. Graduated with honors from Rutgers, master's at Cornell, PhD at UC Berkeley, recipient of the National Science Foundation, adjunct professor for 6 years at the New School for Social Research at the City University of New York. Now he's an estate tax attorney for the U.S. Department of Treasury. So here's a guy that you could think of as the epitome of even self-professed rational thinker, right? Zero interest in paranormal or UFOs or anything related to that. Zero. Until March of 2012, when Ray, his wife, and daughter all had conscious contact with a non-human intelligence, a non-terrestrial being with a personal story that will dazzle you. And it did for him and his family what we are going to do for you today. Change the way you see the world. But Ray Hernandez wanted answers and certainly has the background of getting good ones, right? And Ray Hernandez is now co-founder of the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial or Extraordinary Experiences. The foundation's acronym is FREE or FREE. We're going to call them FREE Foundation just to save time. Their work can be found online at www.experiencer.org or consciousnessandcontact.org. Now, keep in mind that Dr. Edgar Mitchell was an astronaut. Yes, that Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon, recipient of a Presidential Medal, a U.S. Navy Distinguished Medal, 3 medals from NASA. But here's a man who walked on the moon and came back a changed man, as I'm sure you can imagine. When's the last time you've done that, right? Yeah, he was inducted into the Astronaut Hall of Fame in 1998, nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize in 2005. And in 1972, upon retiring from the Navy, interesting to note, it was Edgar Mitchell who founded the famed Institute of Noetic Sciences. It was Edgar Mitchell. He authored the book, psychic exploration in 1974, spent his last 40 years studying human consciousness and psychic and paranormal phenomena. Kind of lumped them all together in this search for common ground between science and spirit. Ultimately came up with the quantum holographic theory. It's truly a wonder to behold. Think of it as a new understanding of quantum mechanics that considers consciousness as an energy form and a universal, if not multi-universal one. And not nearly as complicated as it sounds, by the way. And all that before Edgar Mitchell's passing just short of 3 years ago. And we will get into some of that theory today, along with an enormously surprising series of results from surveys done on nearly 4,000 people around the planet from all walks of life who had some sort of extraterrestrial contact. So if you think we're alone in the universe, or think that it's all abductions and aliens out to conquer this world, or think it's all ridiculous, then sit back, have a brandy or something, and prepare to have your world turned on its head today in the best way possible. Of course, it is Kindness Beyond the Veil, where we have had guests with benevolent extraterrestrial encounters, like our friend Robert Miles, who ultimately started Time Stream Pictures with amazing documentaries like the UFO Chronicles series. Our dear friend Flori Violetta, who talked about her encounters, was a big hit here. Our honored friend Andrea Perrin, best known for being the real-life eldest daughter raised in the home featured in the film The Conjuring, right? That's paranormal. But she just came out with a book called A Wonder to Behold. It knocks your socks off. It's an awesome book and talks all about extraterrestrial contact, even some advice on how you could bring that about, right? Or Caroline Corey, whose film, E.T. Contact, They Are Here, turned the UFO world on its head, partly because she had scientists, physicists, and astrophysicists, like Ray Hernandez's fellow co-founder and executive director of the Free Foundation, Dr. Rudy Schill, explaining conscious contact with non-human entities and how it actually works. And Caroline Corey will be back here, by the way, first week in March. Charmaine D. Rosario Sage, who is a hybrid, a human extraterrestrial hybrid, who turned up in both Caroline Corey's film and Ray Hernandez's Free Foundation research and in the Free Foundation's book. Now this book, and we've talked of a couple of books already leading into this, but this is the one that changes the world. It's called Beyond UFOs. That's the easy title to remember. Here's the full. Beyond UFOs, the study of consciousness and contact with non-human intelligence, volume one, which I totally recommend. I mean, it floored me. And we will talk with Ray Hernandez about that today. And Charmaine D. Rosario Sage makes a return visit here in 2 weeks. So we have covered this ground somewhat, but nothing like today's guest, Ray Hernandez, is about to do. And to show Ray I'm not quite as hyperbolic as I've seemed to him, I'll mention the other most important show of the year. The second week in March, we will have the folks from the LL Research Foundation. It's really L/L to find it, LL Research Foundation. They're the ones that did the Book of Ra. Ra is not a sun god, but a collective of higher level extraterrestrial species. And it's all about the law of one, where if there is an extraterrestrial religion, in a manner of speaking anyway, it would be that. And a hugely important episode, just as this one today is. A lot to get to today. And a quick reminder before we bring Ray on, we can be heard every Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on WCET-FM. Mondays, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. And every Saturday, we're on the United Public Radio Network, formerly the UFO Paranormal Network, by the way. Every Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, we are on UPRNTalkRadio.com. And you can find us on Facebook on Kindness Beyond the Veil Facebook page, where we'd love for you to like us on Facebook. Also, our great producer tonight, Tim Roxbury, has this really the real hit show called Supernatural Realm with Tim Roxbury hosting. I have the honor of co-hosting. That's every Tuesday and Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. And it's all good here. That's on WCET, LateNightInTheMidlands.com. So now the moment is upon us, beloved listeners, our gift to you today. Our honored guest, co-founder of the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research on Extraterrestrial and Extraordinary Experiences. Please give a warm welcome to our highly honored guest, Ray Hernandez, to Kindness Beyond the Veil. Hello, Ray, and welcome to Kindness Beyond the Veil. How are you today?
Oh, my goodness. After that introduction, I feel wonderful. That was, I ought to just close up shop right now.
You're all good.
That was a tremendous introduction. Thank you so much, Chip.
Well, it truly touches personally my heart and soul, the work that the foundation is doing, the Free Foundation. You personally, came from a place where this had nothing to do with your life whatsoever. You didn't think of paranormal or UFOs or near-death experiences, out of body, any of that stuff. And an experience really turned your life around. But you're really, to me, sacrificing, time to put your heart into this foundation's work. And to me, there is nothing like it in the world. We were talking off air that there may be some similar things out there, but really nothing like this, nothing at all like this, And I've been around the block a little bit. This really excites me, the work that the Free, I'll just call them Free Foundation, to keep it. We won't have to take a half a minute every time we mention that.
Sure. Yeah, correct.
Foundation. But can you maybe give an overview, really, of in your heart, what you see as the foundation's work?
Okay.
Kind of an open question.
I'll give a very brief overview of our organization, and then I would like to get into some of the specifics.
Excellent.
Of our mission, that sort of thing. Our organization, we're not a ufology organization, even though the title of our book is Beyond UFOs, The Science of Consciousness and Contact with Non-Human Intelligence. What our organization is an organization that is researching what is consciousness. What is the relationship between ourselves, our multidimensional essence, which is our consciousness, and contact with non-human intelligence via what we are calling the contact modalities. Mm-hmm. And I'll get into more details later on, but basically that is out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, UFO contact, channeling, ghosts and spirits, remote viewing, shamanic hallucinogenic journeys, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. All the different ways that humans are piercing the veil.
Yeah, and to me, and I'm not meaning to cut you there, yeah. But it touches everyday life too. If I ask you to picture an apple, I think we use that example, in the book. That's everyday things, that's stuff that there is just something outside of us. And I think a lot of our listeners, really the great majority of them, had at one time or another some kind of experience that they can't explain, whether it be paranormal, psychic, intuitional, magical healing or divine healing, out of body, near death, or UFO contact that is just, it changes the way that they see the world. And the book mentions what Edgar Mitchell looks at consciousness, and I thought he used an example of a virus, And I did a research about viroids, which are plant viruses. A virus is generally 1,000 times smaller than the cell that it ultimately goes in to infect. And the cell then passes off waste, which is bad for the system, bad for the body. But how does this little thing, this little microscopic thing, know how to do that? How did life grow from amoebas to us? There has to be a bigger picture. And it covers really both the psychology and physics of that bigger picture. It really mentions consciousness as like an energy form that is not just earthly thing, but a universal thing, if not a multi-universal thing, and puts it in that perspective. Is that accurate to say in your mind? You can say no.
I don't know. That's the reason why that word was introduced in our book, was used in our book, was humanity is slowly being awakened to a new paradigm of reality. And it's happening sort of like a virus. It's being spread one-to-one, and it's being spread all over the world. And it's being spread through the various contact modalities. Because, for example, when did NDEs really become prominent? Okay, the knowledge of that. Well, it became prominent in 1975 with the introduction of Raymond Moody's book, you know, Life After Life. Mm-hmm. The phenomenon of the UFOs, when did that become really prominent? Well, with Star Trek, again, in the mid-70s.
Right.
The out-of-body experiences, who made it really become well-known? That was Robert Monroe, again, in the early 70s.
Yeah, I lived the 70s, man.
Yeah. And so what you're having is that, and then with when the launching of the information technologies now, the internet, all this information now is being spread all over the world like a virus. So little by little, this information that, look, our reality is much more complicated than what you think it is, and that individuals are having contact with all different types of non-human intelligence, which we suspect are multidimensional type of experiences because they involve a manipulation of space-time. So that's why the word virus was utilized in that context, it's being spread all over the world.
But he still mentioned, though, it was the stronger survive principle, you know, where how all these different species, even on this planet, you know, have survived. But also how it really affects DNA and some other kind of cell, but it affects DNA. And they found that there is something about our DNA that really long precedes us, you know. And has rapidly changed more than it should have, and some of that is also in there too. I mean, my God, the best book I've read. I mean, hands down. My goodness. And that now the research. I mean, what prompted you personally to get involved in this foundation and become a co-founder of all things?
Okay, it all started with my personal experiences. Do you want me to go into them?
Yeah, that'd be great. And I just want our listenership to keep in mind that this was, you know, a self-confessed rational thinker, right? You know, wouldn't even consider this stuff. And we've met a lot of people like that, you know, throughout the years. I'm sure you and I both, but you were among them. And then something happened in, I think it was March of 2012, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Previous to March of 2012, I had zero interest in UFOs and the paranormal, non-human intelligence. At that point, I would have thought that you, your producer, and every member of your audience were all nut jobs.
Right, yeah.
So what had happened was that on March 30, 16-year-old dog, Nana, who had severe arthritis, she had a bad heart, she walked like an old lady on crutches, she became paralyzed around 8 o'clock at night. We called our vet, we described her symptoms, and then he said what she probably had was a cerebral hemorrhage.
Oh.
And so we had made arrangements to euthanize her the very next day. And so my wife, who was born and raised in Mexico, a hardcore Catholic, she began praying all night for a miracle. And then we woke up the next day at 6 o'clock in the morning. We checked the dog. The dog was still paralyzed. So I went back to sleep, and my wife carried the dog down the stairs. And then when she got down to the stairs, she saw an object floating 4 feet off the ground. And it looked sort of like an upside-down U, like a she said it looked like a little craft.
Okay.
Floating inside our living room.
Inside the home.
It was inside the home, phasing in and out of reality. It was like white, cloudy, and like metallic in color. And but again, it wasn't fully materialized. You could partially see through it. And then at that point, she thought it was her angel that she had been praying all night to. She then began to pray. And then these beams of light started shooting out. And then she began calling for me, not because she was scared, because she wanted me to see her angels.
Right. She was excited. Yeah.
Yeah, she was very excited. And so what happened was I totally ignored her, like a good rationalist material.
Right, the husband, yeah. That's the husband thing. You know?
And so at that point, I really, I didn't know what was happening. She was waking me up on Sunday morning. Right. And so she physically went upstairs and hauled me out of bed. Wow. And then we both went down the stairs. And when she got to the bottom of the stairs, what I'm going to tell you happened super, super quick, okay?
Okay.
I saw this plasma energy being that was, again, floating 4 feet off the ground. By then, my wife had disappeared and my dog in front of me.
The wife and dog gone.
Gone from the living room. And all of a sudden, something took over my consciousness, my train of thought. I looked at that plasma energy being. I basically waved my hand at it and I said, ah, bullshit. This is what you got me up for this crap, you know? And then it's difficult for some people to realize this, but it's basically something just took over your mind, you know?
Right. Yeah,
and
yep.
Later on, it was confirmed when I had this other experience of how it actually operates. So basically, I then turned around. I walked upstairs. I went to my bed. It put me to sleep. 45 minutes when I woke up, then I was fully conscious, and I ran down the stairs. And there I saw my wife in the middle of the living room saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, the angels cured her, the angels cured her. And the dog was running around the whole living room like a little puppy.
Okay? Oh, my God. This paralyzed dog with a cerebral hemorrhage. What kind of dog was it?
A Jack Russell Terrier.
A Jack Russell Terrier. And oh, see, those are dear to my heart, too.
And even before then, she wasn't really able to run and jump, even before her paralysis.
Right.
Because she was
arthritic, yeah.
Yeah. And so now, to me, it was like, I call it like getting hit over the head by an ET 2x4, you know? it's like...
Now, did you think totally... of it in terms of miracle like your wife did?
No. At that point, we had different stories because she had seen that upside down you know, like a little craft in the living room.
Yeah, but it as an angel, right?
And she interpreted an angel, and then I saw this energy being, but she wasn't there.
Right.
She was later on. Someone told me that what she had was missing time. She had 45 minutes of missing time. She was gone for 45 minutes, but to her, she had gone down the stairs. She looked down. The dog was running around, and she celebrated.
Right. So no time passed in her mind.
No time passed in her mind, okay?
Wow.
And then we had two different stories. It was utter chaos. But
for a rationalist especially.
You know, for her too, you know?
Right,
because
right.
For her, it was like an angel came down after she was praying all night,
right.
And they cured the dog. So everyone was super happy, but we were all like, what the, you know what? You know,
just happened, right. You know? I'd be saying that too.
And then what had happened was 2 months later, our dog woke my wife at 3:30 in the morning. And so my wife then walked down the stairs to open the back door. The dog didn't want to go up the back door. She was jumping on the front door. My wife opened the door. She went outside. And lo and behold, she saw a big gigantic UFO right outside the house. And it was roughly like a football-shaped object, flat object. With triangle on the sides, and it was all multicolored on the sides, and roughly the width of 300 feet, like a football field in length.
Wow.
And then this is what she told me. She says, oh, last night my angels came and visited me. They came in a beautiful angelic craft. It had stained glass windows, just like our church, you know?
Wow, no kidding.
And so I asked her to draw it, and she drew it, and she drew like a very elongated disc, very, very long, you know, like a cigar almost, you know, very long,
right.
And very huge. And I said, what you saw was a UFO. And then she goes, I wasn't a UFO. You're just an atheist. That's why, you know. That's why
you pulled the atheist stuff on you, huh?
That's why you wouldn't understand. And at that point, I really was an atheist, you know?
Right. Amen.
So that's when I realized for the first time that this is UFO related. So instead of spending 8 hours a day researching the paranormal, I now was, you know, 6 hours researching UFOs and 2 hours researching the paranormal. And then roughly she was in Mexico for about a month, and there she had She called down these UFOs numerous times, and they came down. Wow. Twice they appeared with her family member. And then one time she saw these 7 to 8 feet tall beings dressed in white monk's robes that floated right in front of her. Wow. And so here I was not having any of these experiences.
Right.
And
right.
then in March of 2012, I won't tell you, you know, the whole lead up to it, but basically I called down I call them UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Okay.
And lo and behold, 15 minutes later, this huge, gigantic object that was like 6 blocks long appeared. The front of that object was literally right on top of my next door neighbor's house.
Wow.
And that was witnessed by my daughter and 3 adult friends.
Wow.
And we saw this object for about 45 minutes, and it was telepathic communication between myself and this object.
Wow. So both you and your wife, even though, you know, you're in different spaces, and when she was in Mexico and she called them down, did she still consider them somewhat of a more in a religious mode, angels?
Yes, yes,
or
yes.
Answered prayer? And
yes.
But you found that you also had this ability to call them down. One of these days I'm going to get that, you know.
Well, actually, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people all over the world are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just here in Miami, I have many, many friends that started off doing this with Grupo Rama in Peru. This is in the early 80s. And a lot of these people now are very dear friends of mine. One is my best friend, Alberto.
Alberto Fernandez, right?
Yeah. Fernandez and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically was with a very large group in Peru, outside of Lima in the deserts, that in the late 80s, they began to call down these non-human intelligence. And these huge, gigantic crafts would appear.
Yeah,
and beings would appear. Through
yeah, and he was a rational guy too. I mean, he was a Miami-Dade police officer, if I'm not mistaken. Then went into.
He was a DEA manager, Drug Enforcement Administrator, retired. But he has had experiences since he was young.
Yeah, that's a bit ironic, though. You know.
Well, his main
a guy
experience.
Who takes drugs away from people having experiences that are kind of like what you'd have if you had those drugs.
Correct.
Yeah,
but his experiences started after he became disabled from an injury while he was at the DEA. It was after he left the DEA in the mid-80s that all of these experiences just skyrocketed.
Right.
But he did have many of these experiences beforehand, but it would just be many, many years apart.
But he had some healing experiences.
Oh, yeah. He's had 2 healing experiences.
Yeah, he tore his cornea somehow, helping
Correct.
Some woman from fainting. And the woman was a very large woman, I guess. And he was trying to sustain her fall and hit a chair, I think, and really,
Correct.
Really hard.
Correct.
Tore
Correct.
His eye.
And then 2 days later, he was due to take a boat trip to tour the Alaska coast, you know.
Oh, wow.
Departing from Seattle, it was like a 10-day trip. But he said, look, we paid thousands of dollars
yeah,
for the
right.
trip.
We're going on a cruise.
I'm not waiting for no surfing, man. I'm going on that tour. And then once he got there, the doctor at the boat, you know, when he's big, you know, luxury liners, you know, that have these tours, he said, look, your cornea is all shriveled up. You're going to lose your cornea. You might even lose part of your eyesight there if you don't get your ass back to Miami and get
yeah,
some surgery.
Yeah, they wanted to, like, fly some helicopter to pick him up and take him.
Correct. And it wasn't until he got back to Miami, like 10 days or 12 days, 2 weeks later, you know, after that incident, that he went to the ophthalmologist, and the ophthalmologist says, look, you know, we might need to put a new cornea, you know, in there. And that's how bad it was. But that same night, after he went met with the ophthalmologist, he had this surgery, and which resulted by 20/20 vision.
Wow, yeah.
By this non-human intelligence.
That confounds doctors, and I love it when that happens personally. It's just this thing I have about doctors, I guess, but I love it when they're confounded. There are a few stories in the book where that happened. Yeah.
Alberto remembered he was on a slab. He was paralyzed. The only he could think was move his eyes. And this big light was on top of him, and he saw these shadows moving about, and he heard this noise, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like some type of energy moving around. And that was to let him know that, look, we're the ones that did it. You know?
The affirmation, basically.
Yeah, the affirmation. And then he was put to sleep again. And so the next day, he had perfect 20/20 vision.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. And, yep. And you know, in the foundation research, there are a lot of examples of people who had healing type of contact.
Yeah, yeah. Let me wait till I go to that so I can go into the data. Correct.
Sure.
Yep. But basically, it was after this experience that tons of paranormal experiences happened. And I won't go into all these details because we'll be here, you know, 4 hours going over them. But let me just go over one of these experiences that talk about how Free got formed over a three-day period.
Wow. Okay?
There was another series that you already knew about the near-death experiences, you know.
Yeah.
That's how they gave me spirituality, you know.
Right. And a lot of coincidences with that around you suddenly.
No. It's 3 days in a row. The very first three people you ever mentioned NDEs to, all of them had NDEs.
Right?
You know? Yeah.
What are the odds of that? And yeah, one of them was your own father.
The last one was my own father. And that was after not working, not caring about anything, including doing any of my own work, you know, for almost 4 months. And wow. All I did was 12 hours a day was to read NDE books, you know,
right. Yeah,
for 4 months. But anyway, let me jump to this next step. That was between September to late December.
Wow.
With the NDE stuff. And it was 3 days in a row, December 21st, December 22nd, December 23rd, 2012, when these three experiences occurred.
These 3 days.
Okay. And I didn't even know the significance of, you know, December 21st, 2012 until months later. Well, do you know what the significance of day is? No.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was talking about the shift and everybody's life sucked in 2014 and 2015. And I was still, you know, holding there, man, it's coming.
So let me go over this three-day period now.
Fast
forward now to May of 2013, a little bit over a year after these experiences. As I mentioned to you before, I was having like nonstop paranormal experiences.
Right.
And my wife was having these precognition things and seeing these beings and things of that sort.
I did not know that.
So I was driving down a major highway going into downtown Miami at 8:30 in the morning. And then all of a sudden, I'm not in the car anymore. I'm inside a big, gigantic spinning wheel. I'm just mine. That's it. I had no physicality to me. There was nothing around me. And then all of a sudden, I see that inside, like a different spokes of the wheel, are now what I call the contact modalities.
Okay.
And I'll go into that. Basically, I saw visually near-death experiences. Visually, I saw out-of-body experiences. Visually, I saw UFO contact. Visually, I saw remote viewing. Visually, I saw communications and seeings of ghosts and spirits. Visually, I saw, shamanic hallucinogenic journeys. Visioning, I saw channeling, you know, mystical meditation. It was all like a movie inside each of the different spokes of the wheel. And then what I was told was basically that these are all the different ways that humans have pierced the veil and have had contact with non-human intelligence.
Wow. Right?
And then I was told, again, it wasn't a voice. It was straight information.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a voice that I was hearing.
No, I absolutely get that because I get the same thing with, you know, the dead sometimes. And now some contact.
Yes, information.
Yeah.
And then it said that humans are studying all of these phenomena as like one phenomenon. But in fact, it's one phenomenon. One. Okay.
Yeah, and makes sense.
With one source. And then the glue that's holding all it all together, humans are calling it consciousness.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, it's the very fabric of our reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then you need to inform humanity of the relationship between us, the spirit world, and consciousness.
Wow.
Okay? The relationship between us, whatever us is, mm-hmm. the spirit world and consciousness. Then it says there. There's two criteria here. You're going to need help, but there's two criteria. This is not about making money, you know, becoming wealthy out of this. And this is not, and the people that's going to be helping you have to be, excuse me, individuals with minimal ego. And then poof, I was back in the car listening to this radio interview, which did not skip a second, of this man talking about doing a documentary of him taking out his fat from a liposuction and doing fat sculptures. Okay, fat sculptures. So that interview did not skip a second. It was like I was taken out of time and put right back in time.
Wow. So it's just like your wife, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Even though I was gone, you know, for like 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay? Yeah, but what happens to the car? See, I'm thinking that you're in traffic. I lived in Miami, so you're probably on US 1, which is like the
836 near the airport.
Oh, that's worse. Oh, yeah. Especially in traffic.
Yeah.
So was it? So, but the time didn't skip a beat for you, and neither did the traffic.
And that's what I was saying, that this, these experiences, all of the contact modalities, what unifies them all is that there is a manipulation of space-time, okay? Yeah. There's a manipulation of time, and there's a manipulation of space, okay? Right. So my case is just a classic illustration of that, okay? And again, I was totally bewildered. I even called the only experiencer at that time that I was communicating with at 8:30 in the morning, and I told this person, "You won't freaking believe what just happened right now," you know, blah blah blah. Okay. So the interesting part starts right after that. Okay, when I got home late that afternoon, I got an email from Mary Rodwell. Now, Mary Rodwell is one of the world's leading researchers,
right,
of experiencers, of experiences of the UFO contact phenomenon.
And she's in Australia, right?
Australia. She's been working for the last 30 years with experiencers, and she's assisted more than 3,000 individuals.
Okay? Wow.
So she's, like, to me, the number one researcher in this field at that time, you know, in terms of what this phenomenon is all about.
Makes perfect sense.
So what happened was, 6 months earlier, I had sent her an email, and the email in October, and I sent it to like 10 famous names, you know. Whitley Strieber was one of the people that called, that sent me a response back, okay?
Wow.
But I sent it to like very famous names. And Grant Cameron was another one sent me a response back this in October. So here's this email 6 months later, and Mary says in her email, "Dear Ray, I'm sorry I'm responding to an email you sent me 6 months ago, but it just popped on my screen today."
Wow.
Okay.
All good things in time, I guess. Yeah.
And so I said, "Well, you ain't seen nothing yet, because in those last 6 months, this is all the crazy stuff that happened to me." And I sent her my diary where I keep these experiences. And I said, "And this is what happened today." So immediately she was like, "Oh my God, Ray, I need to talk to you." And so she showed me how to use Skype, and that late night to like 1 a.m, we were on Skype going back and forth. Okay.
Wow.
So then I said, "Look, I got to go to work tomorrow. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, we'll continue our conversations." So the very next day, okay, the very next day at 9:30 in the morning, okay, I got a telephone call. "Hello, is this Ray Hernandez?" "Yes." "Who's this?" "Dr. Rudy Shields." And I was like, "Who?" You know, he goes, Mary Rodwell didn't send you an email?" I says, "No," you know. And so I said, "No," you know. I said, "Oh, I apologize." And what had happened was that Mary had sent me an email requesting permission for Rudy to communicate with me, but I didn't see that email, you know. And so Rudy jumped the gun and called me. And so then he asked permission to talk to me. Obviously, I gave his permission. Now, for your audience members don't know, Rudy Shields is an astrophysicist from Harvard University, one of the world's leading experts in black holes, dark matter, dark energy. I mean,
magnetics, liquidity of space. I mean, all that stuff.
We're talking Stephen Hawking's type of person.
Yeah, really are. Yeah.
Okay. And for 40 years, he was at Harvard as a professor of astrophysics.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he had been retired. Okay. So here's this man calling me. And what he told me after I told him my experience, he says, "Ray, what you got is you visually got to see Edgar Mitchell's quantum hologram theory of consciousness."
He said that to you.
Visually, wow. I was shown how it works. Okay.
Yeah, and but so it's 9:30 in the morning. So
9:30 in the morning, and I was like, who in the hell is this guy? You know, what the hell is he talking about? I was like, you know,
well, and I was being respectful.
So then he began to explain some of the science and physics behind that, right? And so he says, look, Ray, you were given a clear mission. And at that point, I never understood it as a clear mission, okay? But Rudy had been a dear friend of the late Professor Dr. John Mack at the Harvard Medical
Center. Oh, man. Somebody I would have loved to have interviewed. Jim.
Yeah. So Rudy was a dear friend of his. He was one of the few professors that defended Dr. Mack during his inquisition at Harvard. Okay.
Yeah.
He was the one that introduced Dr. John Mack about consciousness and the multiverse.
Really? I didn't know that.
Because all these individuals were going to Dr. John Mack stating that they were being brought to another reality. Like I was, like my experience, okay? Dr. John Mack was hearing it from, you know, a lot of people that are having these experiences. So I said, Rudy, what can you tell me about multi-dimensions, you know? And Rudy says, well, if you're getting like a PhD in physics now, you know, the movement now is to believe in a multiverse, you know? Multiple universes.
That was a hockey thing. Not a parallel universe situation, but a multi-universe situation, which
multiverse.
Is
multiverse. And Rudy just told me, he says, Ray, this is recently, he says, if you graduate with a PhD in theoretical physics at any university in the United States, you're going to be an adherent to a multiverse theory.
Wow.
So that means all of these theoretical physicists, they believe that we live not in one universe, but in multiple realities.
Yeah, we don't see enough of them on TV shows,
They're out there. You just have to start looking for it.
Yeah, but, I know, right?
but I mean, tons of the Nobel Prize-winning physicists at MIT, Caltech, you name it. I mean, that's what's in vogue now. A string theory. I'm sure you've heard of string theory, Dr. Michikaku.
Yeah, I actually I wasn't a string theory guy, really, until I read your book. You know,
okay, all right.
Beyond UFOs.
Well, Rudy is not an adherent to string theory, and Edgar wasn't as well. But the key there is the theory of the multiverse. You know.
Yeah, it's vibrational, and I think that's the part that carries over into some of the work that he's doing with the foundation. Some of the things that I read and understood. I was kind of proud that I understood it. You know, it's not as complicated until he specifically says, "Okay, this part's for scientists." Then it got complicated, but I still followed some of it. But he puts things in a perspective that actually makes sense, ties everything together.
And what you're referring to is a chapter in our book that was written by Dr. Rudy Shields.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also Dr. Edgar Mitchell has a chapter in our book titled Nature's Mind,
right.
The Quantum Hologram.
Okay. Yeah, which is beautiful.
It's a very simplistic discussion. In our next book, we're going to have the full-length version of it, the complicated version of it. Okay.
Wow, awesome.
And okay. It's his magnum opus, I think. Now, what happened was Rudy said, look, I'm going to help you out. I will be your scientific advisor to implement what you were told. And I was still, you know, I didn't know what the hell this man was talking about.
Yeah, 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah. And then, because I haven't even thought about that, you know,
right.
About a mission and things like that, you know.
Yep.
And then Rudy gave me a telephone number and he said, write it down. I wrote it down. And he said, this is the telephone number of my mentor. So I said, well, who's your mentor? And he says, Dr. Edgar Mitchell. And he says that he's going to call Edgar Mitchell right away and let him know of the discussion we had today.
Wow.
So I waited about 4 hours because I was scared of calling this very famous man. I finally did call him in late in the afternoon. Again, this is the second day after my experiences.
Right, yeah. Wow.
Okay? He invited me to his home the very next day at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
He lived 45 minutes away from me in Lake Worth.
Okay. Sure.
As soon as you cross over Broward, you go into Palm Beach County. It's the very first city on the turnpike.
Yeah, my dad and two sisters live in Boca. So
okay, all right. So then the next day I went to Edgar's home, and basically I spent 6 hours in his home, and most of the time was him telling me about his life. I learned everything about Edgar's life, including all of the astronauts and cosmonauts had paranormal experiences in space. About Roswell, ions, his own personal experience in space. I mean, tons of stuff.
Pause on that for a moment. These they look like fireflies, these sparkly things, because I'm getting them in my home now. But he mentioned that when he was on the moon, he actually saw these things. Is that correct to say?
He never told me that.
No? Okay.
And I never heard that.
Yeah, it's actually in this chapter in the book, the not the first one, the second one, I think, because you got two sections, unless I went online and read it, because I looked into the hologram theory and everything.
Yeah. Well, I read his first book and his second book, and I don't recall that being there. Ah. But there are a lot of people that take at liberty, you know, putting stuff on the internet. But I don't know, it might be there, but I'm sure Edgar would have told me, you know, and other people that I converse with, Rudy and other of his close friends, and they never mentioned that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was at his home that he said, look, Ray, Rudy and I already discussed it in detail before you came over. He said, we will be your scientific advisors for whatever project you undertake. And so then I called Mary Rodwell. I said, Mary, these two geniuses want to help me out and be my scientific advisors. I said, would you like to join us? And she said, yes. So like a week later, she came up with the name for the organization. And then immediately we started getting all these academic professors emailing me, emailing Rudy, emailing Edgar. Edgar had made some suggestions, and that's how the Free Foundation got started.
Yeah, and the people that have joined this thing are very noteworthy. I mean, I recognized, I think, every single name, save me for maybe two. But I had heard of all these people that have joined this foundation. And my goodness, I mean, everybody has letters next to their name, you know.
Yeah, and also we had, for your listeners to understand, it's a collaboration between retired PhD academics and researchers. Okay?
Okay.
And researchers. People like, for example, Mary Rodwell, who I mentioned before.
Yep.
Kathleen Martin. Kathy Martin is the director of MUFON's Experiencer Research Program.
Wow. Right?
And then Dr. Leo Sprinkle. Dr. Leo Sprinkle was the first academic to ever write an article on experiencers.
Really?
Yes. Wow. He began researching this phenomenon in 1962. We're talking about UFO contact experiences, okay? And right then and there were three of the major individuals that have had these experiences, you know, that have researched this phenomenon.
Okay, hang on just a second. We're getting a lot of background noise. I think Timmy's live. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, maybe he could mute on his end.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yep. Okay.
Okay, and then so it's a collaboration between the people that have their boots on the ground, okay, mm-hmm. with the academics that know how to do research and that have an interest in the paranormal contact modalities. Dean Radin, for example, lead scientist.
I'm a fan of Dean Radin's. I really am. I would love to meet him someday.
So he's been a major ally and contributor to our organization since it first began. And so it's putting these two minds together, the people with the boots on the ground and the academic scientists.
Wow. I mean, and you know, I have seen the names. I mean, it is just amazing and phenomenal. But the way it came about for you, see, I didn't see that in the book, you know, it's really like, you know, look, there are some things that I come into contact with in maybe a paranormal setting or, you know, on my path to ascension that tells me that, you know, I have this specific path. You know, there's a path for me, a purpose for me. But yours just came together, you know, almost instantaneously. It came to you.
It was orchestrated. It was orchestrated. Just like, for example, Dr. John Klimo, how he came aboard, okay? Within that communication with Mary Rodwell, Mary, do you want to join us? Okay. I don't recall, and Dr. Klimo does not recall, okay? We were on the telephone calling each other, talking to each other. I don't remember how I got his name, who referred me. He doesn't remember either. But basically, Dr. John Klimo was a tenured academic professor for 40 years in psychology. He's one of the few academics who primarily researched the paranormal. Okay?
Yeah.
He's published numerous books and academic articles on the paranormal. Okay? Mm-hmm. And he's chaired over 250 PhD dissertations. Okay? Yeah. 75 of these dissertations were on the paranormal. Okay? His most famous book, titled Channeling, this is an academic book, not a pseudoscience book.
Right.
His most famous book, titled Channeling, was translated to 18 languages. Okay? So
wow.
Within a week after letting Mary, would she want to join us, I'm on the phone with Dr. Klimo, and he just told me, Ray, I'm about to retire. And I said, John, we need someone to chair this research committee. And he told me that he was teaching research methodology for 40 years. I said, perfect. Would you like to be the chair? And he said, yes. That's
wow.
His life's dream, his final mission, okay? And
yeah.
So he became the chair of our research committee.
Wow.
So, I mean, this was orchestrated. There's no other way to describe it.
You basically lived my dream, you know? Because
well,
all these people are people that, you know, you think, oh, boy, who would you love to have a conversation with in life? And they're all on my list, you know?
Well, I'm going to get you the emails to each and every one.
Okay.
The other person is Dr. Claude Swanson. He has a PhD in physics from Princeton University.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah. Yep.
He's written about, he wrote a book titled The Synchronized Universe
mm-hmm.
20 years ago that argued
yeah,
that all the paranormal is all interrelated and that consciousness is the key to understanding this. He was a member of our board of directors from day one.
Wow.
Okay. So, and I already mentioned, you know, Kathy Martin and Dean Radin. And so, now, let's get back now to Dr. Bob Davis, a retired professor of neuroscience.
Okay.
This is a professor of the brain. Okay.
right.
That's a member of our board, co-author of several of our articles that were published in peer-reviewed academic journals.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. All right. Now, what we did is...
Yeah, we've got an echo in here, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm hearing me talk again.
Yeah, right? At least your voice is beautiful. You know, it's a nice thing to hear it more than once. Yeah. But,
okay.
You know, back to focusing.
Yeah. What I want to mention now for your audience members is why did we do this book about UFO contact experiencers? Okay,
mm-hmm.
As our first research study, since our interest is on consciousness and the contact modality, okay, let me give you the reason for that, okay? With near-death experiences, we have many, many organizations and individuals that have collected research data on NDEs.
Right.
There are literally hundreds of books written on NDEs, and many of them were written by academic professors and medical doctors.
Right. Yeah. It's not your average near-death experience authors and
correct.
Research.
So there's tons of data on that. And then for out-of-body experiences, again, there's not as much as near-death experiences, but there is a lot of research that was done on out-of-body experiences. Now, when it came to UFO contact, there was nothing there. No one had ever done a comprehensive academic research study.
Yeah, because I mean, they hid everything. I mean,
no one has ever done it. It's not anything of hiding. No one has ever done this. Okay, we're talking a multinational study, comprehensive academic, quantitative, and qualitative research study. No one has ever done.
Yeah, people from all walks of life, all around the planet.
Okay.
Taken almost 4,000 people have you know, helped in this
participated. Yeah,
related their experiences.
So what we had is, in order for us to be able to compare the experiencers of the different contact modalities, we needed to find out what the hell is going on with the UFO contact experiencers.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have that data. What we had was individual experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we knew individual stories, but we had no statistical data.
Yeah, and it some of the surveys taken by these almost nearly 4,000 people from all around the globe that had some kind of experience, there is a kind of some open-ended question in this survey that allows them to talk about subjective experiences, which is extremely rare. I don't think that's been ever done. It's Correct. Generally frowned upon in that kind of statistical survey, if you will. But that's what really made it, it gave it the juice, you know. It really added this layer that makes a lot more sense under this umbrella of the things that you're looking at.
We talked about numerous areas that are seldomly discussed in the field of ufology. They're not touched, okay? Yeah. Now, the reason why we did the UFO research is because, as I stated earlier, the entire members of our board of directors, and I mentioned just some of them already, all of us hypothesize that we are interacting with non-human intelligence via various paranormal modalities, which we call the contact modalities. Mm-hmm. And that these contact modalities might be derived from one source. In other words, it's one phenomenon. Okay? Mm-hmm. And we also hypothesize that consciousness is the key that unifies the contact modalities.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me.
Correct. And I already outlined what the contact modalities were. I'm not going to go over into them again, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what we did is we developed this team. We spent 9 months developing this research study. The research study is divided into two components. The first component is 600 quantitative questions, okay?
600
quantitative questions. It was divided into two phases. Altogether, to do these two phases would take you, at a minimum, 4 hours to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, with the open-ended questions, it would take me 15.
Yes. No.
I'm wordy.
And then we had 70 open-ended questions. We wound up with more than 10,000 pages to our open-ended questions.
Wow.
Okay. It was like tons of material. And so what we did is we publicized these individuals to take our surveys in more than 500 Facebook organizations.
Wow.
Mainly we focused on ufology, the abduction phenomenon, paranormal sites. We also posted it on internet and YouTube postings. We went to over 200 radio interviews. And this was all done on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
We also sent out emailings to over 8,000 emails that we had on our emails. And we also did our surveys not only in the English language. We did it in Spanish, French, German, Slovak, and very soon it's going to come out in Chinese.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Correct. And so what happened was that, as I stated earlier, no one has ever undertaken a comprehensive academic research study of UFO-related contact experiences.
Not even close, especially to the number of people that were surveyed that were considered, you know, for this research. I mean, that's never, ever been even close to done.
And so what the result was, just in the English language, we now have over 4,000 individuals that participated in our English language survey from over 100 countries.
Wow. Okay?
All together in all these languages, more than 6,000 individuals.
Oh, my God.
From over 125 countries. Right? Now, in terms of the questions, okay, there were some smaller surveys that had been done in the past, but these surveys had like 50 questions. They had 50 people participating in them.
Right,
They were all self-selected, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes they were even driving people to form a certain opinion. You know, they were almost...
Correct, because most of the questions were all abductions. Abduction this, okay?
Right, yep.
Now, all the people in our board of directors knew that this contact phenomenon was much, much more complicated than merely abductions, okay?
Right, yep.
So we asked questions related to these topic categories. The first topic category was the family history of contact, okay? We asked numerous questions about the family history. We also divided the contact experience into three different types of experiences. One was telepathic contact, because that is contact with non-human intelligence.
Right. Okay? It seems to be primary, I think, right? Telepathic?
Well, it's one component of it. The next type of contact was contact in a 3D physical reality, okay? In other words, and then we subdivided that. We had numerous questions on contact here on Earth, contact in a UFO craft, and contact in another 3D reality, like another planet, you know, perceived other planet, another, you know, physical 3D reality.
Okay, so even if they're taking to a different place in space during their experience, it's still three-dimensional for them.
It's three-dimensional for them, right?
Okay.
Then we also had another category called contact with non-human intelligence, but in a multi-dimensional matrix reality, okay? My experience was the multi-dimensional matrix reality type of contact, okay? It wasn't in a perceived 3D reality. Okay.
But yet, when you say matrix reality, can you clarify that, please?
Well, it's a reality of reality that's not 3D. Okay, that you know did not take place on Earth, on a perceived craft, or another planetary planet
system.
A system, that sort of thing, okay? You can see mountains, you can see, you know, grounds, rocks, buildings, you know, that's a 3D reality. But when you're seeing things and they're like changing colors or manipulating,
time the and space. Being,
you know, like in a near-death experience would be more like a matrix type of reality.
Okay, all right, yeah, okay.
That's easiest way to see. Or in the movie Contact. With Jodie Foster.
Okay, yeah, okay. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, these are all examples of a matrix reality. Now, we also asked numerous questions about the psychic and the paranormal aspects of the contact. And again, that's not an area that people focused on within this field. We also asked questions about the nature of the non-human intelligent being. The type of being, the physical appearance, whether it was positive, negative, or neutral, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. We also asked numerous questions about information received by this intelligence, whether it was telepathic, in 3D reality, or multidimensional reality, the information received. We also asked numerous questions about the physical aspects of the contact experiences. Then we asked the psychological aspects of it. You know, how did these people were before psychologically, during these experiences, and then after these experiences, okay?
Right.
Now, the result was that we received a total of 4,145 responses to our English language survey. to phase two, which is had the bulk of the quantitative questions.
We had open-ended,
2,292. For the open-ended questions, we had 1,456 responses, which resulted in more than 10,000 pages. Now, if I could go now to the really important stuff, which is there were four important major findings. There were hundreds of little findings all over the place, okay? Let me go in terms of the big picture type of items, okay?
Excellent.
Number one, contact with non-human intelligence is overwhelmingly positive. Number one.
Yeah, like almost three-quarters of all surveyed.
Yeah, more.
If I'm not mistaken.
More.
More than three-quarters of all surveyed. Sorry, I just had to say that again.
Okay. Number two, okay? Contact with non-human intelligence resulted in a positive transformation of the entire psychological profile of the individual.
Yeah, okay. And just to say, because we've had a guest here, we're going to have again Charmaine De Rosario Sage, it's a hybrid, a human extraterrestrial hybrid, who talks about a lot of abduction experiences. And even being used as like this birth canal. I think they actually had her deliver children, hybrid children. And even after all these experiences that a lot of people would consider negative and would fearmonger about, she really has a positive outlook from all of it.
I'm going to be going over that because she's a she would be considered in the small group that's had an abduction.
Right.
Roughly one-third of the people that took our surveys had an abduction.
Yeah.
But yet, out of that one-third group that had an abduction, 70% call themselves contactees, not abductees.
Yeah, okay. Positive experience. Now, they see positive out of it.
Yeah, and I'll go over those details later on. Number three, the third major finding, is that these experiences were overwhelmingly not physical experiences. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They were overwhelmingly paranormal and psychic experiences, okay?
Huh.
While there were physical experiences, okay?
Okay,
they were very small in relationship, in percentage-wise, to the paranormal and psychic experiences. For example, like in my case, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I physically saw this energy being in my living room, okay?
Right.
I physically saw that UFO craft.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
But that's like 1% of my experiences.
Yeah.
Okay? The other 99% of my experiences were paranormal and psychic.
Okay, so it's kind of like, just to make that clear, but just between you and me, you know, when I have mediumistic experiences, you know, talk to dead people, sometimes I do it in my head. It's a third eye thing. You know, sometimes they semi-manifest, where I can just barely make out the figures of these people, but it's enough to at least tell me something about them that I don't have to use my third eye for. But the psychic or the paranormal experiences, would you describe them like that? Like it's more kind of in your head?
What's happened to you are these are paranormal experiences. Okay? Physical experiences, you have a little gray right in front of you.
Right. Okay.
Or that you're aboard a UFO craft.
Okay. Yeah, or but that makes me feel better because I'm having paranormal experiences now. I mean,
So what we discovered was that the overwhelming number of experiences, as percentage-wise, are paranormal and psychic.
Huh.
And not the physical.
Wow.
Even though people are having both. Like, for example, my wife, okay?
Right.
She physically saw these humanoid beings dressed in white monk's robes, okay? She physically has seen these UFOs, okay?
Uh-huh.
But the overwhelming type of her experiences were paranormal.
Wow.
Just like Alberto, okay?
Oh,
Alberto's were from my friend Alberto Fernandez. Again, the overwhelming type of experiences that he's having were paranormal. But he saw gray, okay?
Yeah.
He saw beings that he calls masters that were dressed in white monk's robes that was standing in his living room and talking to him. Not talking to him, telepathically communicating with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these were physical experiences. But these beings would bring him to other realities.
Yeah, they would. And some of them were religious, you know. But there was one time when they healed his cornea where he didn't actually see anything except some sort of energy that was actually shaking the hospital curtains, you know, where he was lying.
Yeah, that's the second experience that he had. But you understand my point here, okay?
Yeah, I do. Because he's having both psychic experiences and physical experiences.
Now, again, that's never been documented. All these three things that I've told you, it's never been documented in this field. That's why we're setting a new paradigm for what is the true nature of this reality, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the third major finding of this is that contact with non-human intelligence involves a manipulation of space-time, okay?
Right. Yeah.
And then this involves the possibility that contact with non-human intelligence is much more complicated than just ET, much more complicated than extraterrestrial.
Yeah, and because you yourself lost time in traffic. You were mind or in that experience, you know, like a 45-minute thing. But when you were returned to your car in the middle of traffic in a highway in Miami, it's like you lost no time at all.
Yeah. What I'm getting to is that all of the members in Free hypothesize that we are dealing with interdimensional non-human intelligence,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily 3D extraterrestrial non-human intelligence.
Right. Right? Yeah.
Now, it does not exclude that there might be 3D extraterrestrial beings that we're interacting with, only 3D, okay?
Right.
But there might be a hierarchy of intelligence.
But
because of the manipulation of space-time involved with all of the contact modalities, by definition, these are interdimensional intelligence.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so I absolutely agree on that. By the way.
That was the fourth major finding. Again, this is something that that has been discussed by Jacques Vallée, Alan Hynek, numerous individuals. Let me also talk about that. What we did is also, we had a statistician, we had a PhD statistician that worked with us, Dr. Russell Scalpone.
Okay.
And he was one of the co-authors in one of the articles that were published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal called the Society for Scientific Exploration, which is a journal that Dean Radin has published in and mm-hmm. Jacques Vallée has published in.
Yeah.
So this is not a Mickey Mouse journal.
Okay? No, it's not at all.
and so what we did is we grouped all of the questions according to country grouping areas. All the questions from the U.S., Canada, Australia, United Kingdom, and Australia and New Zealand together and mainland Europe. And mm-hmm. we found out that there was less than a 10% variance in wow. how each of these country groups responded to the questions.
Wow.
That means they're responding pretty much the same way to all of these questions, no matter where you are.
No matter where they are in the world. That's okay. Wow. That's
another aspect of the validity of this research. Okay.
Yeah. And I just want to remind our listeners that if you're just joining us in this new hour, our honored guest is Ray Hernandez. He is the co-founder of the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial or Extraordinary Experiences. Covers a lot more than that. Foundation acronym is FREE, or FREE, so we call them the FREE Foundation. Their work can be found at online at www.experiencer.org or at www.consciousnessandcontact.org. And donations would be great. It would be a really good thing. Is that accurate to say?
Well, I'd rather donations go to you.
Okay. I'll take them.
So you could continue with this good work.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, you know, we could hang out, man. Next time I'm down in Florida, yeah, I'm going to call you, man, because to me, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I've read the book from the Free Foundation. The short title is Beyond UFOs. I will just keep it there for now because it'll be easier to find. You know, I got my copy. It was the most extraordinary thing I have ever read. It was an experience more than anything else.
It's 820 pages.
Yeah, yeah.
It weighs almost 4 pounds.
Well, I'm glad I had the Kindle version.
If you bought the physical book, after you've read it, you could then do barbell.
Yeah, I could work out, right?
Yeah, work out with the book.
Let me go into
now that topic area of positive, negative, or neutral, okay?
Please, yeah.
We asked over 40 questions to address this issue. Why? Because you get a different response depending on what questions you ask and how you asked it, okay?
Okay.
So regarding whether these experiences are positive, negative, neutral, we asked the question, how would you describe your experiences? Was it positive, negative, or neutral?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Only 5% said it was a negative.
Yeah, I saw that too. I couldn't believe it. 5%. This is 5%. Out of 100% of all asked, 5% had negative encounters. That's important to know, especially on this program.
No. It's the way to look at this question is after many, many years of reference.
Okay.
Because in the beginning, 38% of these people viewed their experiences as negative.
As negative, because,
in the very beginning.
It caught them off guard. They were, you know.
You have a reptilian that all of a sudden pops right in front of you. You're going to shit in your pants, you know?
Yeah. There are reports of people experiencing paralysis or, you know, something in their living room. They don't know what it is, and they think it might be a burglar.
Or a demon or something like that. But what happens is that the vast majority of these people have had numerous experiences afterwards. And we'll go over that. But let me just go over this question of positive, negative, neutral.
Okay.
Now, neutral was 29%.
Wow.
Okay. Neutral was 29%. Now, positive, the people that said that it was a positive experience, was 66%. Okay.
Wow.
But the important part to get out of here is that negative perception was only 5%.
Wow. That is astounding, especially with all the stuff that's been out there for years, for eons. I mean, it's really since the 40s or 50s. We're talking all negative encounters, and they're coming to get you, and they're going to blow us up and take us over.
And also, it's very, very important, okay? We had numerous PhD scientists that reviewed our data, that member of our organization.
Yeah, the names would blow you away. Yeah.
John Klimo, he knew all the data as it was coming in. Dr. Bob Davis, who was a member of our research committee, had saw all the data that was coming in. Okay. Dr. Russell Scalpone downloaded all of our data, you know. We excluded the emails of the people, you know, so he wouldn't have that. But, you know, he saw all the data, and then he looked how the data was coming in over time, you know. There was remaining consistent. So it's not like Ray Hernandez is going in there manipulating this thing, okay?
Right.
You could go to all of our professors and interview each and every one of them, and they'll verify this. Now, we also asked this question.
By the way.
Yeah, most definitely. We also asked this question about the different types of beings, okay?
Yeah.
The number one type of being that people saw, this was 56% of the people.
Wow.
Was an energy being.
Really? I would have thought it was the grays. No. Oh, see, I feel better now because I'm having experiences like that and started about a month ago.
Number two at 51% was the human-looking being.
Really?
Yes. Number three at 50% were the short grays.
Okay.
Number four at 47% were the ghost and spirits form.
Oh, okay.
At 33% was the tall grays. 25% were the reptilians.
Wow.
The insectoids were at 21%.
You know, like the mantis, yeah.
Yeah. Small animal types were 15%. Large animal types were 13%. And other, whatever other was, that was like another 30%. So what you have is individuals are seeing multiple types of beings, okay, in their experiences, okay?
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Let's just focus on the percent that perceived as negative, mainly negative, okay? For the energy being, 7%. Human-looking being, 5%. The short grays, what would you expect it to be?
Oh, I would expect the reptilians to have the worst reputation.
No, the short grays,
Yeah, I know. So I would put them at 30% maybe.
Okay, it was only 11%.
Wow.
Okay. The ghosts and spirits, 7%. The tall grays, 12%. The reptilian, 23%. The mantids, 10%. Now, what we did is we went to phase three, the open ended questions, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we asked we had several.
Okay, I just lost your vocal here. I'm thinking we might have lost our treasured guest. No, we can't hear you, Ray, for some reason. Yeah. But again, we remind you.
Okay, testing.
Yeah, there you go. You're back. Okay. On Kindness Beyond the Veil, by the way, host Chip Reichenthal, our honored guest Ray Hernandez, who we welcome back. We were talking. I think we left off at reptilians.
Yeah, reptilians. So we went to phase three, which is our open-ended questions, and we researched the individuals that had reptilian experiences. Okay.
Okay.
We had almost 450 people that had reptilian experiences.
Wow.
450.
That's a lot of people.
With the short grays, it was over 1,000. That's just to give you an idea, okay, of how many people responded to these surveys, okay? Now, for the reptilians, all of these individuals, out of these 450 people, all of them stated that they answered negative. Why? Because the physicality of the being.
Okay.
Okay? All of a sudden, in front of them appeared this 8 to 9 foot tall being.
Yeah, reptile thing.
500 pounds, muscular. Like a steroid football player.
Oh, so some of them might have been those Dragos that they talk about with the wings.
Well, that was the vast. No wings. These are all just muscle bound. Crocodile heads with a long wing. Okay.
Okay. Right.
And most of these beings basically just stayed there looking at them. Okay. And that's why they answered.
Yeah, the interpretation would automatically be negative because it's a scary experience.
Correct. So for a long time. If that was the only experience you had with these reptilians, that's it. You would mark down, negative.
However, absolutely, sure.
However, 60% stated that it was neutral, their experience with reptilians.
No kidding. Yeah.
And 17% said that it was actually positive. Those are the people that actually had telepathic communications with the reptilians.
Interesting. Okay?
So, you see, you have to dig deep into the details of these experiences.
The subjective experiences, the person's mind makes it clear.
We did not have one person that their spouse was raped by a reptilian. We did not have one child that was eaten by these reptilians.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
So, but yet, if you go to the internet, all you see is this bullshit. One bullshit story after another bullshit story.
Yeah, but it's interesting that, the majority of that negative experience was that they showed up and didn't say anything. I mean, that would scare me, I think.
60% of the individuals said it was neutral. Why? Because these people reviewed their experience and said, look, it didn't do anything to me.
Okay.
So it was neutral. And the people that answered negative was like, look, this being scared the shit out of me, man. Okay. So that experience was negative. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So that's just for you to see the actual data from thousands of people, what they're saying. Okay.
Yeah, and this is all around the globe too.
Yeah, all around the world. The short grade was actually 10.5% that said it was negative. That's it, 10.5%. We rounded up to 11. Now, out of those that said that it was a neutral experience, 59% said it was neutral. So 6 out of 10 people saying that these experiences were neutral. Now, 29% said it was actually positive with the grays.
With the grays. Okay. Interesting that it's neutral. I've seen them classify, you know, of course you see things on internet, but some things I tend to believe more than others that say that they're basically I think the term was amoral. They don't really care if you're good or bad.
The internet, as you know, is filled with fake news.
Yeah.
misinformation.
A lot of, yeah.
And disinformation.
Yeah.
Okay? And you have a lot of people spreading rumors and gossip that they heard from someone. They heard from an experiencer on our radio show, you know.
Yeah. And then they pass on a story and it goes second hand to third hand to fourth hand. And, yeah, it gets lost in the translation.
Just like this whole thing of just like Rh negative. Okay? We asked that question. Like, well, what was the result? Only 11% had Rh negative blood. Okay? And guess what is the national average? Guess what's the national average?
Rh blood?
11%.
Is it really? Oh, I did not know that. Wow.
So the people responded exactly to the national average, but yet you go to every damn UFO or alien or abduction website. Oh, I'm Rh negative. I'm Rh negative, you know? Well, okay, fine and dandy. You're part of the 11%.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But here we actually have a survey of people who are honest, who are subjective, who are very candid about their experiences. It took a lot of time to comprise all this research, over 10,000 pages when people go into the open-ended answers. Good thing I wasn't in that survey, man. I would have given you like a full day's work, you know. But well, the whole thing is that this is real people with real experiences that are being candid about it, even if they're embarrassed to give their names. A lot of them were anonymous or wished to remain anonymous, because they were very uncomfortable talking about it.
It was 100% anonymous.
Yeah, okay, all right.
It was 100% anonymous, the surveys. Wow. We didn't ask for their names, their address, dates of birth, social security numbers, 100% anonymous.
Yeah. Okay. But now, I mean, this is real information that is given to people with credentials and names that are well-known and almost overwhelmingly, you know, kind of give you a wow response.
We're gonna have to have a part two to this show, because I'm like basically 5% through the data here. Okay.
Okay. But you can come back anytime, man.
but let me continue with the questions of positive, negative, neutral. We asked, if you could stop your ET contact experiences, would you? Okay. So if this was such a negative and horrible experience, you would expect most everybody to say, make it stop.
Yeah, especially what we've been inbred to read, you know, and all this information for the last, you know, 50 years, 60 years, you know, that's what you would expect. They would say, oh, you know, I never want to see this thing again. I'm terrified and, you know, post-traumatic stress and all this stuff. And
well, so what is the answer? 84% said, no, keep it coming, baby. Keep it coming.
84%?
84%. Okay. We asked the question, do you believe that ETs are bad, malevolent, or evil? 91% said no.
91% said no.
91% said no. Okay.
Wow.
Overall, 62% stated that non-human intelligence have tried to help them. 71% have felt expanded consciousness in their presence. Mm-hmm. 66% have felt love from them. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the second major finding, which is the major transformation that has taken place with these individuals, or the positive, okay?
Yeah, the people feel transformed in a way.
Yeah. So what we did is we borrowed close to 70 questions by one of the most important books that's ever been written. And you really need to, you probably heard of this book, but if not, you need to read it. The book is titled The Omega Project, Near-Death Experiences, UFO Encounters, and the Mind at Large by Dr. Kenneth Ring.
Yeah.
Okay. That book was published in 1989 by a tenured professor of psychology at the University of Connecticut, one of the co-founders of the International Association of Near-Death Studies, Dr. Kenneth Ring. And what he did is he did a statistical comparison between 74 people that had near-death experiences and contact with non-human intelligence. VNNDE, and 97 individuals that had an abduction experience. Okay?
Okay.
Now, what he concluded was that both groups, 85% of both groups, underwent, just like we concluded in our study, a complete psychological profile for the positive of both groups, both individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And let me go over some of the questions that we borrowed from Dr. Kenneth Ring. Okay?
Okay.
And then we applied new questions, but to the same topic. We asked, did your ET contact experience change you, your life, in a negative, neutral, or positive way? And there were five categories for responses. Highly positive, slightly positive, neutral, slightly negative, highly negative.
Okay.
The result was that highly positive was 51%, slightly positive was 22%.
Wow.
Neutral was 17%. Slightly negative was only 6%. And highly negative was only 4%.
Wow.
Okay?
And so as you can see, the two positive groups, that's like what, 73%?
It's 73% said that ET contact changed them in a positive way. Now, let's go to the specifics. Okay.
Excellent.
We asked the question, did your specific attitude to this question, this topic question, strongly increased or strongly decreased? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go over the ones that's... Okay?
Okay. Yep.
My desire to help others. My appreciation for things in life. My sensitivity to the suffering, concern with spiritual matters.
Ray, I got to interrupt you for a second. You broke up on us for a moment there. You're probably having some contact as we speak, because, or I am, you know, but we couldn't hear what you said. So if you could repeat that, and I apologize.
Okay, yeah. So we asked this question of whether this particular area strongly increased or decreased, strongly decreased. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had five categories: strongly increased, increased somewhat, had not changed, decreased somewhat, or strongly decreased. Okay. Now I hear no feedback at all.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever was done, whatever was done,
yeah, that's beautiful.
It's gone. Okay.
Wow.
Now let's go over strongly increased.
Okay.
Okay. My desire to help others, my compassion for others, my appreciation of the ordinary things of life, my sensitivity to the suffering of others, my concern with spiritual matters, my desire to achieve a higher state of consciousness, my appreciation of nature, my spiritual feelings, my concern with the welfare of planet Earth, my understanding of what life is all about, my personal sense of purpose in life, my concern with ecological matters, all strongly decreased. Now, let's look at the opposite. What strongly decreased? My concern with material things of life.
Interesting.
My interest in organized religion. My competitive tendencies.
Wow, that's like...
My fear of death.
Yeah, that's...
My desire to become well-known, famous.
Okay? Right.
So all
that's
of these things...
Ironic that I have a radio show, but that's the truth, yeah.
So the issue is that depending on the questions that were asked, between 73% to 85% underwent a profound psychological profile change for the positive. Okay,
right.
Now the question that I want to ask to all your readers, okay, wouldn't you want this person that we were describing here to be your spouse?
To be
your best friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
To be your neighbors?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another question: if the rest of the world, the rest of humanity was transformed this way, would you think we will have world wars?
No, not at all.
Do you think everyone in this world would have universal health care?
Yeah, probably.
Would you think everyone in this world would have shelter and food to make them live, okay,
in
a more, you know, hospitable and moral human way?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So by these statements, I'm saying that I am calling these beings to do this to everyone in the world.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Me too. Because I can see a beginning of it. I see it in some of the guests I have in all different realms. You know, the paranormal realm is recognizing it. The spirituality realm, the mystical healers, the shamans. I mean, it's starting to bleed into every single realm.
Remember we talked about the virus?
Yes.
Okay. It's the same concept. It's an awakening that's taking place all around the world.
And it needs to happen.
This virus needs to spread to everyone in humanity.
Yeah. Would it be unfair to add in that some of the contact experiences were profoundly about that?
I'm going to be touching about that. I then subdivide into the spiritual aspects, paranormal. Okay. Let me go into the paranormal experiences, okay?
All right. Yeah, now, excellent.
The UAP contact experience is primarily not a physical material phenomenon, as I said before. Instead, it's an overwhelmingly paranormal psychic phenomenon. Now, this hypothesis was the hypothesis of Dr. Jacques Vallée, Dr. Alan Hynek, Dr. John Mack, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, and so many others that they hypothesized this more than 30 years ago.
Okay. Yes, the greatest minds of our time. Yeah.
Now, unlike Vallée, unlike Hynek, or unlike Dr. John Mack, Free has actually confirmed this hypothesis with actual confirmational data. Okay. Yeah. Now, attached are several charts and data which describe this concept. Okay. 95% of individuals have had paranormal experiences in their home.
Wow.
Okay. Huge number.
Interesting.
80% in their home. 80% have had out-of-body experiences. 80%. Yes.
No kidding.
8 out of 10.
Wow.
30. This was in both. We asked that question in both phase one and phase two.
I wouldn't expect out-of-body to be that high, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. All this data is all like shocking.
Right.
Because a lot of people, a lot of the researchers in the field, Kathy Martin, Mary Rodwell, Denise Stoner, Leo Spinkle, they all knew this, but they didn't have the percentages. They didn't have the data.
Okay.
And now we've got the data.
Now you've got the data.
Yep. 37% of the individuals had near-death experiences.
37%.
50% have had a medical healing by non-human intelligence.
Really?
Yes, 50%. Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm calling them, man. Gotta patch me up.
What's happening to you? Telepathic communication? 78% stated that they have had telepathic communications or thought transfer by non-human intelligence. That's almost 8 out of 10 people.
Okay.
That took our surveys.
And is it unfair to say that, going early on this, to say that some people received like symbols and some people received the information as if they were just talking to them?
We got a little bit into that, we have so much data, I really can't
win all of it. You can just break it down into all these.
I mean, we'll be here all day, all
right?
Night talking. Now, another key factor is 50% of these individuals were brought to a matrix reality. Okay? Past life memories. 66% have had past life memories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever seen a ghost or a spirit? 76%. Okay?
Wow.
Do you have memories of being brought to heaven or spirit world? 46%. Have
really?
You seen small colored orbs? 67%. Okay.
Yeah.
Have material objects mysteriously appeared right in front of you or other members of your family? Those are called apports. 25%. Okay. 25%. Have material objects ever fallen or suddenly moved around you or other members of your family without any reasonable explanation? 61%. Okay. 61%.
Yeah. That changes your life, by the way, when you see things move around a room without a reason.
Yes. That's 6 out of 10 people. Can you see or feel energy or auras around people? 74%. Almost 3 out of every 4 people. Okay.
Wow.
47% have met or conversed with a deceased person, a ghost. Okay. 45% have had memories of visiting what is called the spirit world. 29% have channeled a non-human intelligence. 49% have had their body out in space, like you're leaving planet Earth and you're looking back and you're seeing Earth. Okay.
49%.
Okay.
Upside down to my expect.
Most of these people are hardcore contact experiencers.
Right.
The vast majority know about experiences outside of their direct relatives. Okay, the vast majority of people who took this survey, 60% have repeatedly experienced objects moving in their home without any explanation. 47% have seen what is called shadow people in their homes, which are beings that look like cloudy human-like that streak across their homes.
You know something? Can I just say this real quickly? Because it might be interesting to you.
Yeah.
And you know, please take this. I have this theory, okay? Because I've seen some dark mists, but I've never had a negative experience. And I think that sometimes these dark mists are actually extraterrestrial. But they work like you hear about cases where people, you know, are being abducted and genetic experiments are going on and all that stuff. Well, this is a kind of a passive way of that. They're learning from us and our emotions. So they are attracted to places that are highly charged in negative emotional energy or highly charged in positive emotional energy. So it's not just shadow people and stuff like that. These things, to me, are extraterrestrial, not terrestrial, and they're learning from a mass of emotional energy. You know, that's what they're attracted to, but positive as well. Nobody's ever said that before. That's my personal theory, but I'd like to look into that. No, well, but I mean, that's what I've been told.
That's a viable hypothesis. Yeah. And also, we tend not to use the term extraterrestrial. We prefer the term non-human intelligence because extraterrestrial refers to 3D, you know, ET type of beings. Gotcha. When in fact, these are, you know, much more complicated.
Yeah, all different kinds of
all different kinds. Things. Yeah. Okay. Now, 40% have physically seen an orb. Of these, 66% were seen in their home. 46% that have seen the orb have seen the orb go through such as a wall. And 82% think that these orbs are conscious living beings. Okay. Mm-hmm. For the medical healings, I just would like to reiterate that Chapter 6 of our book was written by a retired medical doctor, Dr. Joseph Burks, and a very, very famous ufologist, Preston Dennett, who wrote a book 20 years ago titled UFO Healings. So we matched them both together to review the data from our chapter on medical healings, and they wrote a chapter titled Medical Healings, Reported by UAP Contact Experiencers, an Analysis of the Free Data. So that's chapter 6 in our book if you are interested in that particular topic on medical healings.
The book Beyond UFOs from the Free Foundation, experiencer.org, or consciousnessandcontact.org, and you can find links to this book. You got to get this book. Yeah.
Thank you. Let's now go to the information that has been received from
about medical healings. Yeah.
Okay. The information that is received. We asked that question. Did you receive any type of communication from an ET or non-human? Whenever I use the word ET, we use in our survey the two terms, ET and non-human intelligence. Okay. But we told everyone that, you know, our preference that we use the term is non-human intelligence. So I said, did you ever receive any type of communication from ET, non-human intelligence? 80%, 8 out of 10 said yes.
Okay? Wow. Okay.
8 out of 10. Now, 80% of these individuals have actually interacted with these beings more than once. So it's not just once, it's more than once. 63% stated that they had witnesses who also saw the being. Wow. So if you saw an actual being, 63% of these people have actually seen the being.
I was wondering about that. If there's this big craft with a bright light coming through somebody's window, you think the neighbors would notice, you know?
Well, again, we asked that same question. Question for the crafts, and again, it was a very similar number. I think it was like 66% had witnessed to see the crafts.
Witnesses, now, and that's good to know because it always seems that it's such a singular thing when it's been painted before your research has been done, and is changing the way that we can look at this.
If it was just me, I would have thought I was crazy when I saw that craft outside. But it was actually a total of four other people, including my daughter. You know, now we also asked
your dog, I guess, probably.
Well, I'm talking about the crap that was outside.
Okay. All right.
Now, 54% of individuals have a physical non-human intelligence more than 10 10 times. Okay. Now, go over the specific communication that was received. Yes. Was it in your native language? Okay. This is all over the world, in multiple languages.
Yeah,
75% said, yes, it was in my native language. Okay.
75%. Wow.
Yes.
With all the languages around the world, you know. I mean, I just had to pause on that one for a moment because, I mean, that's
they're communicating in your language.
Wow.
Whether it's Spanish or French or Slovak or whatever, you know.
Yeah, Mongolian.
Did the ETs impart reassuring messages to you? 61% said yes. Wow. Did the ETs provide you with a spiritual message? 54%. Did the ETs... Yes, spiritual message.
I'm sorry, I got to stay on this stuff because it's just fascinating to hear.
We're going
to
have a separate topic on spirituality.
Okay.
But let me go through this. ETs give you a message of love or oneness. 50 ETs about humanity's behavior.
Wow.
Now, did the ETs give you any messages about God or a universal creator? 31%. Did the ETs ever give you messages about a parallel universes? 31%. Did the ETs give you environmental messages? 39%. Scientific messages, scientific downloads? 42%. Okay.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Did ETs give you information about the death process or about life after death? 30%. ETs ever tell you information about... Yes, 30%. Did the ETs ever tell you about time, the concept of time? 30%. Did the ETs tell you about your mission here on Earth? 29%. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me just skip around some of this.
That's significant.
Reincarnation. 26%. They were told about reincarnation.
26%. Yeah, it always seemed kind of a parallel. I wanted to ask about one that you mentioned about six examples ago of parallel universes and ask a stupid question. Would that include multiverses?
Because I think parallel verses
and multiverses are two different things, significantly different.
Well,
that's why I asked that question.
The way we rephrased it in the question, that it was a multiverse or parallel.
Oh, okay.
So
I feel better now. Yeah,
so people can understand that it's that we live in more than one reality. You know.
Okay. Excellent.
Let me quickly go over the physical aspects of it. Okay. Have you had contact, but you have never been abducted? Let me give the formal phrasing of the question. Have you had an ET contact, but you have no conscious recollection of ever being abducted, which is defined as taken against your will to another location?
Okay.
Well, 68%, yes, I've had contact with non-human intelligence, but I've never been abducted. Mm-hmm. That's 2 out of 3 people, okay? The other one-third of the people have had a typical abduction, okay? We then asked the question, 489 cases have had an abduction. Out of those, 30% were my lab cases. These were military abductions. These are abductions by humans. Okay?
Wow. That high?
30%, correct.
Holy moly.
Now, the vast majority of people have had more than 10 abductions. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask this question. How would you characterize your first few and your last few to contact experiences with non-human intelligence? Okay. We asked this question, is a case of being a conscious contactee, an egalitarian, an equal relationship? You are not an abductee, but a contactee, where you're being treated with respect and understanding. Okay. It was still a case of abduction, but we're seeking permission, more humane, compassionate treatment. It was a case of abduction, but of a milder kind, a slightly more caring kind. And the last choice was, it was a case of abduction of the most negative kind. Okay, now, let's look at the first few contact experiences, okay? The ones that say an abduction of the most negative kind, okay? 18.3% initially said that. Now, for the last few contact experiences, that dropped to 8%.
Really?
So, 10% of these people change from the very beginning of their experiences to the last few. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
It was an abduction, but it was a milder kind, a slightly more caring kind. Slightly, not a lot, but slightly.
Right.
18.5% was the first few experiences that dropped all the way to 13%. Okay.
Wow. Interesting.
Now, let's look at conscious contactee.
Okay.
I'm a conscious contactee, an egalitarian, equal relationship. Okay. 19.6% were the first few. The last few rose all the way up to 35%.
Wow.
Okay. Now, the right underneath that was, I am not an abductee, but a contactee, where I was being treated with respect and understanding. That was 35%. And that remained at 35%. So these are all abductees. People have been abducted. So what you have now is that 70% of these individuals now call themselves contactees.
Okay.
And then the percent that said it was still a case of an abduction, but where they sought my permission, where I was treated in a more humane, compassionate way, that remained at 8.7%.
Okay.
So if you would include that with the contactee crowd, we're talking 78%.
Right.
Okay, 78% were contactees of these people that have been abducted. But you could see how the people changed according to the beginning of the experiences and later on in their experiences. Okay?
Yeah.
So what you have is all these people that do abduction researchers. Like Whitley Strieber interviewed me. He goes, Ray Hernandez, part of a team that's doing abduction research. You know, I had to cut him off. I said, you're missing two-thirds of the people that took our survey. Because two-thirds of these people, you know, are have had contact with non-human intelligence, but they've never been abducted. Yeah. So stop calling this abduction research, okay?
Yeah.
This
is
experiencer research. Because abductions is just one-third of the people, okay? And out of those thirds, 70% now call themselves contactees.
Contactees. And not, they look at it positive, even if they saw it as negative in the beginning for whatever reason, over time.
Well, here's the reason. Because what we discovered is that over time, okay, these they've had multiple experiences. For example, more than 40% of these individuals have had contact more than 20 times, okay? More than 40%. Another 6% have had between 11 and 20.
Wow.
Okay. And another almost 8% between 8 to 10 times. Okay.
Huh.
So the more experiences you have, the more positive these experiences become.
Right. Right.
Okay. We asked that question. Okay. We did a statistical analysis of on one side we had positivity, and on the other side we had 1 time, 2 to 4, 5 to 7, 8 to 10, 11 to 20, more than 20 in terms of types of experiences. What we saw is those bar charts kept on going high and high and higher and the positivity chart.
Wow.
The more
See that?
The more
you heard it here on Kindness Beyond the Veil, baby. I'm just saying.
The experience, and that's it, one or two experiences, and nothing else. And all you remember is lying flat on a bed, being inspected by Little Gray, you're going to still be horrified. You're going to be traumatized the rest of your life. Okay, those are those people. Or reptilian came to you, appeared right in front of you, is you pissed in your pants, you know? Those are going to be the people that would say highly negative, traumatized, all of that stuff.
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
But
can't
what are we statistically, this was our statistician that did this for us, that showed the more experiences, the more positive your experiences became. Okay, now, should we skip the part about the UFO craft? Because I want to get into spirituality.
Well, you tell me. We've got a good 5 minutes left. So, spirituality.
Okay. And also, we got contact in a matrix reality. We've had almost double the number of people that were brought to a matrix reality than people that have had an abduction. Okay. And people that have appeared aboard a UFO craft, okay? The people in the matrix reality, the overwhelming number of people viewed their experiences as positive, okay? 75% stated that their senses were more vivid than usual, okay? That more conscious, much more conscious. Half the people, 49%, said that in this in the matrix reality, time stopped or was slowed down, okay?
Wow.
38% said that they suddenly seemed to understand everything about the universe.
That many?
Yes. Just like Edgar Mitchell. That's what he had in space.
Well, yeah, that's significant. I mean, that's really significant.
Okay. 2/3 of the people said that their consciousness was separated from their bodies, like I was. And I'm going to skip a whole bunch because there was a whole bunch of other questions here. We really don't.
We're going to have to have you back sometime.
Correct. Let's go over the spirit world, okay? Spirituality. Okay. 97% believe that non-human intelligence can travel to other dimensions. 91% believe that there is a grand plan in motion and that all experiencers are part of this grand plan.
91%.
Yes. 89% believe that there is a connection between non-human intelligent beings and the paranormal.
Wow.
83% believe that there is a connection between non-human intelligence and the spirit world. 83%.
Wow. Yeah, I'm among them.
82% believe that non-human intelligence can travel to the past and the present. 5% believe that there's a connection between non-human intelligence and reincarnation.
Okay. Wait, the one before, you can or can't travel to?
Can.
Oh, wow. Okay. What? That's wow. That's a wow thing. Sorry.
45% have stated that they have an agreement with non-human intelligence. 45%.
That's significant. Wow.
Okay. Now, in terms of what the non-human intelligence told them, okay, 31% were given a message of God. 30% were actually told about the death process in the spirit world.
Wow.
26% received a message of reincarnation.
Yeah.
25% were shown how to do energy work by this intelligence. 25% were told that at one time they, in fact, were a non-human intelligence, okay? 24% were told by non-human intelligence about their past lives, okay?
Wow.
So commonalities, the similarities between NDEs and UFO contact experiences. First of all, there's a manipulation of space-time to both. Transported to a matrix reality. OBEs are common to both type of experiences. Communication takes place telepathically. Three of the four major types of non-human intelligence seen in an NDE are also the same for UFO contact experiences. Those are the spirit beings, human-looking beings, and the ghost and spirit beings. Both groups are given information about the future and the past in a visual holographic format.
Wow.
Both groups have had thousands of medical healing cases. Both groups become Reiki or energy healers.
No kidding.
Electrical equipment malfunctions in close proximity. Many return with precognition abilities.
Wow.
Many learn how to do channeling. Many have had telepathic communications here on Earth. Both were given information about God, reincarnation, the spirit world, okay? And numerous other commonalities. So what I want to be able to state to your audience members is that we're working on two projects. Both these projects have a tentative title of Beyond Materialism, The Science of Consciousness and Contact with Non-Human Intelligence. Okay? One is a two-volume book that will have 30 authors, 15 per each volume. Half of them will be PhD academics and medical doctors.
Wow. And this is your estimate on when this is released?
Late fall.
Okay, very cool.
Of this year.
In the meantime, we should promote the one that's out.
Yes, the one that's out.
We're down to about a couple of minutes. That's Beyond UFOs.
This is a hypothetical book, a hypothesis book. In other words, okay, Chip, what the hell do you think is going on? Okay, put it in writing. So it's your theory. And this is the question that we asked everyone. If you could address in your chapter, what is the relationship between consciousness, our cosmology, and contact with non-human intelligence via the contact modalities? And that's our book. Now, we also have a documentary. In that documentary, we're going to be asking and posing the same question, including the question, is there a possible unification theory of the paranormal contact modalities? In other words, are all of the contact modalities interrelated? Just like the physicists are trying to get a unification theory of physics, okay?
Right, yeah. Right.
And so this is what we're going to be posing in this documentary. We're going to have numerous PhD physicists, astrophysicists, neuroscientists, medical doctors, philosophers, psychologists.
Well, the good news is, unfortunately, we're out of time, but the good news is lots of reasons to have you back. And I sure hope you'll join us again soon, you know. I'll book you again real soon because I really want to get more information. It's Ray Hernandez, our honored guest, the co-founder of the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial or Extraordinary Experience. The foundation acronym FREE, or FREE, Free Foundation, experiencer.org, or consciousnessandcontact.org. Check those out.
We also have a Facebook site. Okay. The Facebook site, and there are tons of experiencers in there, over 1,000 experiences. And it's Consciousness and Contact.
Facebook. Okay. Consciousness and Contact on Facebook. Excellent. Yes. Thank you, Ray Hernandez. I hope you stay with us, so we can talk off air again. Meantime, we thank you so much. You've been listening to Kindness Beyond the Veil. It's your host, Chip Reichenthal. If you're hearing us on the fabulous WCET-FM up next, late night in the Midlands with the wonderful Michael Vera, his guest on this particular date that we're taping is Kathleen Martin. Her topics, contact with non-human intelligence.
That's one of the chapters in our book. Kathleen wrote that chapter.
Oh, my God. And she's on with Michael Vera next, if you're listening to us on WCET.
She's going to be talking about Chapter 7 in our book.
Very cool.
That she wrote.
See the tie in there? So big shout out to Kathleen Martin from us here. And, of course, Michael Vera, because we love Michael Vera. If you're hearing us on the UPRN, then we've got some of the most amazing programming of the weekend coming up next, and some news programming. Always good to know what happens around the world. We thank you so much for being a part of this. We thank Ray Hernandez for really enlightening our world here on Kindness Beyond the Veil. Join us every Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, or Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, depending on which network. Please donate to this network because we could really use it. Don't touch that dial. Thank you for being a part of us. We love you all. Take care.